was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switch and bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night rolls in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, friend. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. You're listening to the RBN Network, the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is not Resurrect the Democracy. This is Resurrect the Republic. This is not the Democracy Broadcasting Network. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining us tonight. I want to remind everybody this show stands on activism, speaking with one voice when we have to, and standing for each other, even if it's just phone calls and emails, and not forgetting about Tom. So we stand on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And I know we have two people on the line right now who will do that. We have Texas Lori and Chris in Las Vegas. Let's bring in Lori first. Lori, what do you got for us tonight? How are you doing? And then give us some updates.
I'm just ecstatic. We have a Canadian political prisoner that's free. For those of you that know Dean Clifford, and I don't know any of the details, he's free. He's out. He has left the Manitoba prisons. So we have a political prisoner that is free. And for anybody that knows him, that's good news. He's done a lot of work in his area of research in law. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he got out. That's amazing news. So you'll hear a lot of excitement in my voice tonight, because that just really was what I needed to hear, that one of them was free. And he's kind of special to me because he is the one that helped me understand the law and the Bible kind of work hand in hand. So it's amazing. I'm still out here at the trials and in Oregon. And in Oregon, they are still deliberating with the jury. We are supposed to be back at 8 o'clock in the morning. And hopefully we'll have a verdict, as well as the misdemeanor trial that they're on. The government is to have their information before Judge Anna Brown by, I believe, 12:30 tomorrow. And Gary Hunt from Freedom Outpost, a lot of people are following Anna Brown's orders to cease and desist his information on the informants, has his, trial or inquest tomorrow in court. We're not sure what time that is. We're all going to show up at 8 o'clock. We're all going to try to be there. We don't expect Gary Hunt to be here, but to appear by phone. So there's the three issues going on here in Oregon. A lot of people have been working on other cases and standing out freezing rain. Just a lot of people taking turns freezing at rain out at the Patriot Corner, doing what they can to support everybody, and I know Oregon's really standing up. So they're doing well, and as far as me personally, things are starting to pull together. So I want to thank everybody that's helping and praying. Thomas is doing well. I had a few-minute call with him the other day. He's doing well. And as soon as these trials are over, I will be going down to Eugene to help him with his case. And part of the reason why I'm up here is to learn the courts and to talk to several of the attorneys. So there's some education level of how things work up here that I needed in Oregon.
Nice work. That is unfortunate that they make it so procedurally difficult that it's almost impossible to represent yourself. Even if you have a perfect grasp on the law and the standing and the jurisdiction, and they make it so complicated with layers of pleadings and motions and how to file this and what it's almost, they stack the deck against anybody who's representing themselves, and even against some people who have their own attorneys. It's very difficult when the system wants to prosecute you and wants you to be found guilty, and it's obvious to many of these people, you know, there's very few parts of the system that want them to be found innocent and walk away free people. But it's very difficult, so it does, you know, it's unfortunate, but we have to look into the procedural. And this is why I'm so worried about the procedural process and the procedural situation we're in. You can't have the courts functioning on that basis, because it's just they make up whatever they want, and people along the line like Thomas really suffer.
Well, they've been behaving themselves quite well. I mean, there's a lot of leeway given to the prosecution, but they've been behaving themselves. I have to say, Anna Brown has been trying, and for how bad it's been, I can see a huge improvement with so many people being here. I also want to give a shout out to something that I always say, and this is to someone I won't name, but just like I say, there's always good police officers, good judges, there are good bar attorneys, and I have one up here that is talking to me, giving me some good advice on how to do what I need to do without getting him in trouble, and he's minding his P's and Q's where he needs to, and I am as well, but getting some help like that was much needed. So staying up here, doing whatever was needed, is going to pay off in the long run. So if people didn't understand, there is a reason why I'm here. And Thomas knows exactly why I'm having to stay here for a little while, probably till the end of the week or until this trial's over, because I am going to support these guys and see it through, which probably will be Monday or Tuesday. But I want to say, you know, we were all born into it. And we woke up on both sides, and there are some on both sides that are good. And those that are good on the side of not so great, they do try to help. And I just want to say thank you to those that do that.
Okay. Good update. Chris, what do you have for us? Anything tonight?
I wish I had something exciting for you. I'm glad to hear that Lori is striking up good relationships with some of the good bar counsel. There are obviously many that would like to be good, and unfortunately, the judicial discretion, this subjective interpretive infusion of their own opinions in there as judicial activism, is proportionally applied, kind of like your elbow on the scales of justice, to adjust what type of fairness and justice is meted out in their courts can be adjusted ad infinitum, up or down, or in between. And this is the dangerous thing to freedom and liberty in America these days, is this concept of judicial discretion. When we're dealing with law, it's either in law or it's outlaw. When we're dealing with legalese, it's multiple different shades of gray, and everything is legal and nothing is illegal, except for what the judge deems it to be, and the first rule is, there are no rules except the judge's rules. And this is the unfortunate reality that we must deal with in these federalist courts, which are really foreign law courts in America. That's Balzac versus Puerto Rico. They'll tell you that there have not been any American law courts in this country since about 1889.
If that, you know, once again, as we were discussing the other night, it went bad in about 1789. Is about even 100 years before that is where the downward spiral was initiated with the Judiciary Act of 1789, which set up all these unlawful maritime admiralty courts that took us pretty much out of common law, put us in what you would call chancery, discretionary regulatory. It's not just, and it's the judge's opinions often, but it's the procedural regulatory stuff, the little stuff that they require. You know, a lot of these judges are finding against people that represent themselves because their paperwork wasn't quite right, or something minor that should be within the reasonable, the realm of reasonable error, so to speak. You know, nobody is going to be perfect at anything, but they stack the deck so heavily with judges' opinions and then procedural regulations in the court that if you don't have if you don't do it full time, like anything else, you know, you're not going to be an expert at it, and they're going to look at you as, they're going to find against you just on procedural grounds, which is really wrong. I mean, we need to have the courts do just. Yeah, I mean, if the courts were just and righteous, you could go up in front of a judge or whoever, whatever their jury is, and plead your case, and they would hear it normally. And now you just get so much manipulation and tampering and threatening and posturing and opinionating and legislating from the bench and procedural regulating that it's the process itself is not what makes us great, as I heard someone say the other day. And the process itself stinks, and it's what's really killing the people is what makes our civilization here today great. But the process is what's killing everybody in it, and the process is completely illegitimate. And once again, we got to get back to no compliance, no enforcement, because constantly going back to the Congress and expecting them to fix all the stuff that they ruined and that they violated, it seems to be a... Go ahead, Chris.
Here's two cases that absolutely tell us that the judges are not supposed to do that. They're supposed to be given leniency for those that are not members of their bar. However, how can you expect somebody that's a bar member to not be conflicted because they have a fiduciary and financial vested self-interest in perpetuating only their bar members appearing before them? So therefore, it's impossible to have any presumption that they're going to be fair and balanced whatsoever, because it cuts into their income and they can't get the cash kickbacks from the natural people coming there. Most of them are poor. That's the reason they're doing it themselves. And therefore, they can't bribe them like the rich attorneys do. And that's Payne
exactly
versus
right.
Turner. Payne versus Turner. And Hagans, H-A-G-A-N-S, versus Levine, L-A-V-I-N-E. Both those tell you that the judges are supposed to give wide latitude and leniency to non-bar, or they call them pro se's or in natura pro per pleadings, and not supposed to hold us to the same specificity of criticality as they do professional, technical-trained legal mercenaries, law merchants or attorneys, but they do anyway. In fact, there's only one form. And so when they try to hold us to the same degree of accountability as they do their bar attorneys in our pleadings, our writings, our paperwork, our knowledge of law, it is absolutely unfair. It is unbalanced. It is not equal access to justice or equal justice under the law. It is access for the privileged few, the elite, the barred licensed Esquire attorneys of their private foreign corporate bar club that we're not members of, and we don't get to have any justice in their courts unless we can lubricate their pockets with plenty of greenbacks.
It really is true, and it's not only the financial fiduciary instrument they look at. It's also, I believe they have a real spiteful hatred for people who are patriotic and freedom-minded. I think they just can't stand the fact that anybody, believes in the Creator, believes in natural rights, believes in private property. The land was created for the people. It wasn't created for the shareholders in the U.S. corporation or the business people that run the country, or the vicars, or anybody else who's trying to lay claim to our land. The land was created for those who live here. And, of course, the system always wants to gobble up everything for itself and then keep everybody on crumbs. And, I see it throughout the government, corporations, media, education. It's everywhere. So, but they really do not only want to line their pockets, make money, and gain control. They really hate the patriotic, especially the Christian American.
I can't argue with you there. It appears that the foundations of this country, the red-blooded Christian American center-right, the moral majority, asleep up until recently, moral majority. They came awake when the Tea Party came, and they had a party. They had a candidate picked out that they thought could give them some relief in Ron Paul, but the neocon left-wing extreme imposter conservatives of the so-called conservative party, the Lindsey Grahams, the McCains, the Paul Ryan, these people are a work of art. They get over there, they're actually left-wingers, they masquerade as conservatives, and then they plot against us from both sides of the wheel. It's like we're in a kangaroo court, and it's two wings of the same dirty bird, shooting us out of the saddle and deny us our choice of who we want to have present our interest as opposed to represent it to the other side.
Yeah, and the bird has certainly become a vulture instead of an eagle, and we're suffering under it. Great deal. Lori, any comments on all this?
I'm just kind of standing by enjoying this.
Okay, well, you chime in anytime you want to, okay? We're not... You just feel free to hear something inspiring. You just chime right in. And once again, I want to remind people you're listening to Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is not Resurrect the Democracy. This is Resurrect the Republic. Do not give the enemy the language. Go ahead, Chris.
I got to tell you, having powerful women on the Republic Broadcasting Network like Lori and Lori Anderson and others, Al Whitney, and Deanna Spingola. Whenever you hear these women, they speak with knowledge and power. They are right here with the rest of us. We don't harbor any grudges or animosity against women that are powerful and smart and strong and articulate. In fact, we revere them. We hold them in high esteem, and we're glad they're there, and we wish there would be more of them. We get callers like Lauren from Ohio, and that's on Joyce Riley's show, but there are good women that are calling in all around America, and they've got great minds, they've got great ideas, they don't think like men do, but thank God they don't. There's a little bit of difference there, and some of their ideas are actually better than some of the men's ideas.
Well, absolutely. I noticed that at the trial for Shane Bennett, I think there was more women there doing courtroom observing than there were men. And, to their credit, it's the women are going to win the battle. Obviously it's a real asset to have people of all persuasions, of both genders, all races. The more the merrier. I mean, as long as we're on the same page with the freedom thing and we're awake to the New World Order and, the overt power, to a structure that's in our face, and then, of course, the covert, who's behind the curtain. It's important to know that. Lori, go ahead.
We need a balance of men, too, because for so long, a lot of people know I fought by myself in the school district and begged for any man to come stand beside me so I felt safe. And I am a girly girl, I'll admit that. But we need a balance. I know, we need a balance. Yes, I didn't join in on Women's Day. We need a balance. My Women's Day is Mother's Day. And, we need a strong balance. So thank you, guys. It's appreciated from those of us women that actually understand how life works. We are different, and we need to celebrate that instead of trying to be each other. So thank you, guys.
Absolutely. And here's I'm going to give you all a great website to go to. This is set up by the gentleman who set up the Courtroom Watch website and helps me with a lot of the, web postings and the stuff we do on the computer. His name's Daniel Leach, and he set up an organization called Single Parents, Helping Single Parents .com. And once again, it's Single Parents, Helping Single Parents. So SPHSP, if you want to narrow it down, but, I think he's got over 31,000 members now, and it's really taken off. So, and some large corporate sponsors, I mean, not sponsors, but at least people who are taking interest through Twitter and Facebook and social networking. And so he's really setting up an organization where, the mothers, especially the single mothers, can help each other through, by networking with other people in their community. And seems to be like that was taken off. So I just thought I'd give that a plug while we're on the subject. But, Yeah, we got covert and we got overt. You know, there's covert tyranny, overt tyranny, and covert tyranny. And I think we try to give a balance here on this show between the what's out right in our face and what we can see and what is tangible. And, you know, with still have to look behind the curtain and see who's there. It's until we really get to the root of the problem, the head of the snake, it's going to be impossible to really right the ship. It has to be, we have to have full knowledge, full spectrum knowledge. And that's why I try to give some kind of balance here, and I think the rest of our guests and listeners as well. You know, once again, the overt tyranny, the overt New World Order, the overt dictatorship that we're living under, and then the covert, you know, behind the scene. I was very interested, this just as I go down this list of Freemasons, from top to bottom, I mean, from beginning to end, they're everywhere. I mean, good Lord, James Monroe, George Washington, Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were connected, but not necessarily full-blown Masons. The real Masons of the 20th century were William McKinley, Teddy Roosevelt, William Taft, William Harding, Warren Harding, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Gerald Ford, Lyndon B. Johnson. I mean, this goes on and on. Those are presidents, you know, founding fathers, Ben Franklin, who else? Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry, Francis Scott Key, John Hancock, Paul Revere, Elbridge Gerry, Josiah Bartlett, and George Clinton, one of my favorites, the Clintons, the Clinton family, his relative that gave him his start, Mr. Clinton, this guy George Clinton, the Mason, the vice president under Madison, his immediate relative was Admiral George Clinton of the British Admiralty, who fought against us in the Revolution. So there they are, the Masons were playing both sides. That goes on and on. How about more recently? Congressman Henry Clay, Nelson Aldrich, William Jennings Bryan, Senator Birch Bayh, Senator Lloyd Benston, Senator Strom Thurmond, Senator Jesse Helms, Senator Sam Ervin. Oh, God. John McCain's father and grandfather were both Masons. Bob Dole, Senator Trent Lott, Senator Conrad Burns, Senator Sam Nunn. How about Senator Charles Schumer and Senator Charles Rangel? We also got Governors DeWitt Clinton. He was the son of George Clinton. And once again, from the British Admiralty family, running New York, same family, British Admiralty Clintons and the American Clintons, all related, running New York and running the U.S. from before the Revolution, 200 years after it, and to this day. Thomas Dewey, George Wallace, George Ryan, Ed Rendell, Governor David Patterson. I believe we had him in New York here. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover was a Mason. How about John Paul Jones and the Marquis de Lafayette? Military leaders, Benedict Arnold was a Mason. How about we get George Pickett, General Pickett during the Civil War, Confederacy's George Pickett, and the Union's Joshua Chamberlain, both whom fought at Gettysburg. Oh, was those the Masons fighting each other at Gettysburg? How convenient. World War II, Omar Bradley, Douglas MacArthur, and it goes on and on and on. And I'll give you the rest of the list next show. So, but I just thought, I mean, does that not blow your mind? I mean, these are powerful people. They're all members of the same club. They're on both sides of the political spectrum, both sides of the Atlantic, both sides of the Revolution, and both sides of the Civil War. Wow. Where are we going from there? You know, so once again, I think what's the solution? There are two questions that need to be posed to anybody who's trying to worm their way into political office. You always have to ask why. Especially when the paycheck isn't that great, what kind of deals are they cutting? But the two questions are this. Have you ever had any relationship with, are you a member of the bar? If the answer is yes, they're automatically disqualified. And I'm sorry to say it. Go out, if you're a member of the bar, go out and start freeing people like Tom Lacovara who needs your help and start doing God's work. Don't try to get back into politics and bring your bar stuff into the government. That's where it's a problem. Bar members are great if they just stayed out in the law field, and we're doing righteous justice things and getting, you know, freeing the innocent and defending the oppressed and all that stuff. Great. I'd have no problem with the bar. The problem is they get into the county legislatures and the state legislatures and the federal legislature. All these guys that I just read off, these are all bar members / Masons. And so usually they have to be both, because the bar is the overt arm of the Freemasons, and the Masons are the covert. And they are intimately related. Read the bios on many of these judges. They're intimately related to the Masons. And so, you know, once again, the two questions would be, are you a member of the bar? And that would be a disqualifier for government service, okay? Because they're not going to get in and do anything remotely like government service. They're going to turn a de jure government, which we had, into a de facto government, which we have now, and all of a sudden run around, including this present administration, say, we got to run the country like a business. Bullshit stuff. Get out of our government. Go run your idiot business on your own, like a business. Have a ball. God bless. Get the you-know-what out of here. Don't take over the government and then start running it like a business and saying, yep, we've got to run it like a business because that's what it is and that's what we want. Oh, sure, how convenient. Take over the largest, most powerful enterprise in the world, the United States government, and start running it as a private corporate business who has stockholders, shareholders, CEOs, and all this other garbage that has nothing to do with governing or serving the people in any way. It strictly perpetuates its own wealth and its own power and control. So the two questions would be, are you a member of the bar? And that would disqualify you for government service. See you in the courtroom. Stick to being a lawyer and an attorney. Don't try to get in government. And the second question is, have you ever had any relationship with a cult called the Freemasons? And if they have ever had any relationship with a cult called the Freemasons, that ought to be the second disqualifier. And boy, you want to talk about draining the swamp? You'd hear that. That would just completely empty it right out if you got rid of the bar and the Masons. And then guess what? Maybe there'd be some room for some real people in there, you know, or some business owners or just a person from the community who's well-schooled in the common law. Someone like any one of our listeners would be a much better bet as a county legislator or a state senator than what we got right now. Comments, my friends?
You said that well.
Oh, you're there, and you're right on the money. Go ahead, Lori.
Yep.
I said he said that very well.
Well, thanks. And if anybody wants to join us, please call 800-313-9443. I love our listeners, and I love it when they become callers. 800-313-9443. Hey, we got a minute here. I wonder if I can do this in before the break. We did the jury nullification flyer last night in honor of the enemy. I'm going to reread it one more time. I'll read it kind of quickly because we went through it slow last night. But I just want to keep doing this because I know the enemy can't stand it when we get the jury nullification flyer out there. They got us jammed up at courtroomwatch.com. So the link to the jury nullification flyer that we posted a few weeks ago is now going to a 404 error code. Thanks a lot, Department of Homeland Gestapo. It either has to be the government, the FBI or the DHS, or a private entity that's intimately connected with government power. I can't believe they'd be pulling this up. And if not, why is the government that we have now not issuing orders and memos from the Justice Department saying anybody caught persecuting patriots or hassling people who just want to resurrect this republic are going to have charges and cases brought against them? Make it a civil right. Make it whatever. I don't care. But get them off our back. Because I'm noticing right now, unfortunately, the tyranny of the now is worse than the tyranny of the before. So we'll be right back after this break. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Chris and Lori on the RBN Network. That's the Republic, not the Democracy Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 122436, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 122436, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of five Levels of Power novels and the Sled Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 122436. Get your copy today.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to stonecityfarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's stonecityfarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, not Resurrect the Democracy. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'm with Lori in Texas. Texas, Lori. And Chris in Las Vegas. If you'd like to join the show, it's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We have a couple of callers on the line already. This is good, and I want to get to them. But first, I want to remind people, the Freedom Screaming season opened on March 1st. It lasts for 365 days. No permit is required. So scream freedom every time you possibly can, especially at the enemy. It's very therapeutic. Fred in Iowa, let's take you first, my friend. Fred, how are you?
Terrific, great. Salutations and howdy and hello to two guys and a gal.
Hey, Fred.
Not only accolades tonight, Eric, but you're doing a hell of a job. You're getting to the quick of the matter. You're getting to the heart. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and but I won't ask for your reply, but I'm going to ask a lot of people this. Okay, I believe that the man should be the head of the household. That's from the Bible. I believe in separatism, to be separate. Now, I can get a lot on with the Nazi shows, you know, when I start out with the statement, I'm a separatist, because I know what people are going to think. But getting back to the head of the household, thank God that he created woman. Thank God. Now, I passed the marriage age, but if I was to marry again, I wouldn't marry outside my faith, but I would hope that I could marry a woman that's more intelligent than I, and that isn't saying a hell of a lot. And if she had a sense of humor, that would be icing on the cake. And a man that's got a good mate and a good partner and doesn't listen to her and take her opinions and her thoughts into account is a dang fool. But one other thing I was going to cover, separatism. Come out of Babylon. That'll be a small group that comes out of Babylon in the end. They call that group the remnant. And there will be in that remnant group every race, color, and nation. They are the followers of Christ. Well, guys and gal, have a hell of a good evening. Bye-bye.
Adios, Fred. David Panetta, right?
Yeah, that was Fred in Iowa. And thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred. That was an awesome call. I always love hearing from Fred. Appreciate that. Thanks, Fred. Call in anytime. Who do you got? Yeah, we got Dave in Nevada next. And how you doing, Dave?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little bit angry tonight, but not in a violent way. I'm just kind of angry in a general sense. The reason why I'm calling is because I'm tired of white nationalism. I don't want to hear about it anymore. The reason why is because I don't want to talk about race, period. I don't want Donald Trump talking about race. I don't want the Jews talking about race. I don't want Jews talking about the white people. I don't want blacks talking about white people. I don't want whites talking about black people or Jews. I don't want Asians talking about Hindus. I don't want Muslims talking about Christians. I don't want any of that. And the reason why is because I was at a coffee shop today, and I couldn't even get into a conversation about sports with a woman. She told me she was a lawyer. This woman was white. She was an older woman. And she started talking about how white people did not like LeBron James because she was black.
Aye.
And I said, I don't want to talk about race. And she insisted on talking about race. I said, please, I don't want to talk about race. You know what she said to me? She said, don't censor me. That's what she said to me.
You got to laugh at it that she was censoring you.
I didn't know what to say at that point. I'd rather talk about sports than politics. And then she said, don't censor me. And this is the problem that I have with Donald Trump and Donald Trump people. I've told this to you before, Eric. I voted for Trump, and I'm not a big Trump fan. I'm really not. I don't like Trump. I voted for him because the reason why I voted for Trump is because I rolled the dice. That's the only reason why. I'm not even white. I'm not a white person. I'm not going to tell people what race I am. Because race is such a tinderbox in this country. I'm not even going to tell people what race I am.
Well, you're right.
And I told this one. Yeah. And I called, and the reason why I'm saying this is because I called on the last show, the Trump show, and I said, do you know how many people are on the Korean border? There's 30,000 U.S. troops on the U.S. border. And I told the last host, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to get all embroiled in whatever this. I said, There are zero military on the border right now on the U.S.-Mexican border. Zero. Zero. There's over. There's about 30,000 on the Korean troops on the Korean the North South Korean border right now.
Yep. And our border is actually getting invaded.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking, this is the problem. And people are making our it's too expensive. It's too expensive. $20,000 to build the border. Don't build the border. Just send those 30,000 troops on the Mexican-U.S. border, and just give them shoot-to-kill orders, just like they do in Korea. And I'll tell you why. Because in Korea, if there's one person gets shot on the border, do you know what people say? They say absolutely nothing. They say it's their fault. Why did you get so close to the border? In the United States, they say, why did you shoot that guy? Why did you kill that person?
Can I answer that? Go ahead. I can tell the difference. We're a republic, and we've always respected our neighbors. And I know people want that border. But part of the reason, and I've been to Mexico several times, part of the reason is the Mexican people, are not pulling themselves up like we do here and have the opportunity. It needs a mind shift, not a culture change, but a mind shift to start helping each other out. And they also have government. Here's the thing. They have our government in their country harming them and causing issues. It's partly something that we need to do to tell our country to knock it off and for them to go into their country and teach their fellow brethren how to, you know, do things in a way that's going to help them economically survive. And to start building each other up, because we're failing in that building each other up here in our country. I've seen so many homeless across this country. It's unfathomable. And it's something that we need to realize around the world. Going and having shoot-to-kill orders is not always going to work in every situation for the South Koreans that work for them. But that's kind of where I see it is. We don't need to go.
I will tell you why my personal reason why that does not work is because I worked in the restaurant industry. I've literally heard Mexicans say, I want to kill Donald Trump. They want to assault him.
But
that's why I say.
Right.
And I'll tell you one more reason. I will tell you one more reason why. I'm Korean. That's why I know. That's why I know hardcore border rules work. They work all over the world except in the United States. Because they will not use real rules, real hardcore rules that work all around the world except in the United States because we're pussies.
You can. I got news for you.
That's the way it works around the world, and that's the way it's always worked. That's the way it worked prior to the Constitution, during the Constitution, and after, until when I don't know. But this is only in modern Western countries. Where it's been taken over by the Masons.
Yep.
And that's, you know, it's right. And that's
it's very true.
We have two different
Western countries have no balls whatsoever. Nothing. Zero, zilch.
I'll give you one more reason why.
It's because the police in the United States, they have more compunction to kill citizens within their borders that are unarmed than they would on the border in Mexico. How many people have been murdered unarmed in the United States by the police? More than after post 9/11.
Okay,
more.
Can I say something,
please,
sir?
And it's, sir, and it's much more than the 9/11.
If I can't talk, I'm going to have Mike cut you off. If I can't talk, I'll have Mike cut you off, and I don't want to do that. But listen, I'm sitting at a trial where the American people are starting to stand up. They stood up. They are proving what the police are doing, and we are cleaning our country up. And they're doing it in a very respectful manner. And they were armed on all sides. So one of the things is things have to play through. And I know everybody's getting very tired of things, very impatient. We've got to stop and watch that we don't go to extremes, because when we do, we will start a war with Mexico. If you work with people from Mexico, you know that. You, if you have children, you know that's what we least want. Because there's more than Mexico.
I don't have a gun. I don't have bullets. I don't. It's almost more dangerous to have a gun and bullets inside of your house. I don't believe. Look at all these people that are in jail because they've had guns and bullets planted inside wherever they were. I don't believe. Look how stupid this is. This whole Second Amendment stuff. It's a game. It's a shell game. Look at Tom. He didn't even have a gun on him, and it was planted on his. It was planted on the site, and he wasn't even exercising his Second Amendment rights. And they planted it on him to put him in jail. It's almost more dangerous to exercise your rights in this country now because they're communists. This is the shell game that they're playing. You have to be smarter than that.
Well, with what I'm seeing, they're not too bright. And I'm sorry I'm giggling, but I saw the prosecution yesterday trying to put forth a case with no evidence. And the judge looked at him like, you're crazy. It's cleaning up. It's straightening up. It's going to be a slow, every ship turns slowly. But we need to be patient. We need that Second Amendment. The people that are armed, and I'm from Texas, we're constantly armed. It's a good thing. But you have to be able to make your choice for you. And if it's your choice not to, I want to say this key point. That's why we're a republic. But one thing in being a republic is something that you're forgetting, and I'm not trying to knock you. I'm trying to teach you. The extremes you're going to, instead of teaching those around you, is moving it to more towards a democracy or fascism.
I don't even carry. I do not carry. I have no arms whatsoever.
Hear what I'm trying to say instead of getting upset. I'm not trying to be rude. But the way and manner you're saying things to the extremes take our country away from a republic that allows for those who choose choices you don't to exist and live side by side with a little bit more respect and patience. If we go and just start saying we close the borders, we treat people this way, we treat people that way, that's exactly what our government's doing to us. So do we fight our enemy with their own tactics and their own mindset and their own form of government? Or do we go back to the republic where we have honor and respect for each other and everyone can live their lives and decide and discuss it together? That's where we need to slow down and have some patience right now and educate ourselves, because seriously, people are going out without the discussion you and I are having and not thinking about, what is a republic? What is the consequence of me saying this if I were in government and did that? You've got to slow down. And those people talking to you on the ground, saying the things that they're saying, sometimes you need to talk to them. If they're we'll talk. We have a counter-protester up here at the Malheur trials. He's very respectful. We talk to each other. He may be paid, but he's never treated rudely. We always say we're fighting for the Constitution, which means it's his right to stand up and go against us as well.
Well, hold
so you've
on.
Got
now,
to learn.
What is he protesting?
He wants them to be found guilty, which is, that's his First Amendment right. And we sit and talk to him of why he believes what he believes. He has every right to believe it. These men stood up for the Constitution for his right to say it. Every soldier that has passed away has fought for our rights to be one way or another and to live in peace. And we have discussions, not fights, not anger. He got hugs from us today. So this is how we need to start solving some things. And you can't do everything with the peace and love and all this stuff I talk about. I know that. But when we go to extremes, we can never make any solutions because our adversary, not enemy, our adversary, our fellow man that doesn't understand what they're doing is going to an extreme, and we don't need to fight it with any.
Controlling your border is not extreme. It's never been an extreme.
Yeah, you're right. I totally agree with the caller. You got to have a border.
It has to be totally sealed. That's not an extreme.
But a shoot to kill. Yeah, a shoot to kill order is a little extreme.
No, it's not, because every country in the world has shoot to kill orders all around the country except in the West.
We can have the best of both worlds. Hold on, you both. We got everybody back to your corners. Hold on 1 second here.
Thank you, Eric.
We can have the best of both worlds here. I got the solution. Just go to American Border Patrol. It's a private organization set up by Glenn Spencer, who's got a ranch on the border. He knows intimately the whole situation. He came up with an array of sound detection devices that he put on certain peaks and high points along the border. Didn't need a lot of them because you can do quite a long area between these sound detectors. And it picks up the sound, and you can calibrate them so it tells the difference between a coyote and a person and all that. And it, for a very little bit of money, not much, he was able to come up with a plan that would almost virtually seal the border. Anybody coming over would be detected, and you just send a unit of the Border Patrol out to grab them on an ad hoc basis. It works great. He flew congressmen over in his airplane and showed them exactly what the plan was and where he was doing and how he was the technology, and presented it to the government. Of course, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. Nobody in the government, neither political party, wants to seal that border. Doesn't anybody? And so, look, we don't have to have shoot-to-kill orders. We could seal that border real easily on a low budget. By the way, doesn't anybody besides me remember the fact that Congress already funded that wall? That money's already been there. They already stole the money from us to pay the wall. The damn thing was never built. Who makes anybody think that they're going to build a wall now? And by the way, any wall can be breached. You can jump over it. And I've heard, other reporters say, put the barbed wire up on the top. Well, all you got to do is throw a heavy enough hunk of leather or a cardboard box over the barbed wire. You can shimmy over that pretty easy. So, or tunnel under it. They found scores of tunnels, and there's a ton of tunnels out there they haven't found yet. Or you could drive a truck through it if you got a big enough vehicle. The walls ain't going to work. It's strictly to appease people and make them think, this is one of the little bones that got thrown to the Patriots. Oh, we're going to build a wall. Yay, that's great. It's going to solve our illegal invasion problem. No, it's not. The one thing that will solve the problem is this. You make it mandatory 5 years in prison for any employer knowingly employing an illegal alien, period, end of story, and it will stop overnight. That's it.
The police...
Let them go to the witch's jail. And by the way, the Korean people, man, you can say we're pussies and get away with it because the Korean people, you guys know how to protest. Go online, listeners, and type in Korea protests. You guys know how to do it, man. Form up in perfect form. Thousands of you, and then somebody goes up front and reads an actual list of demands or grievances, and then they go at it like a giant wave. So you guys know your stuff, and I got to say, you are the king of protesters, so my hat's off to you.
Okay, and here's what I want to say is that the police don't kill their own citizens. The only time when someone gets shot is when they get close to the border. See? That's the difference. In the United States, the people that get shot are within the borders because the police have shoot to kill orders within the borders. That's the difference. I hope people understand that. It's the citizens that get shot, not the non-citizens. That's something that people need to understand. That's why I'm bringing this subject up, because I understand how borders work. I hope people understand that because the police in the United States, within the borders, they have something called wide latitude. In other words, if they feel fear, they use that in court after they've blown someone's brains out without a gun, or they put them in jail. They said, I feel fear for someone. I felt fear for this person, this certain person, and he was threatening. He had a lot of muscles, or he was a black belt, and I had to put him in jail, or I had to blow his brains out. That's why I'm bringing the subject up.
Yeah, it gives them it's a license to kill.
Wide latitude, that's the phrase that they use. Wide latitude means unlimited.
It's
and if you go to other countries, if you go to other countries, these kinds of shootings that happen in the United States, it's once in a year or in a decade, and it shakes them to the core. In the United States, it's a daily habit. There's 3 murders by the police a day on average. That's conservative, without provocation or without arms. That's why I'm bringing the subject up. If they brought these troops, the 30,000, on the South Korean border, they put them on, and they use the same rules as they do on the South Korean border, and no one complains about it, not even the South Koreans, when they even get close to the border, they just say, oh, well, that person got shot. Well, they got too close. If they use the same culture and the same rules, there wouldn't be a problem in this country. They don't even need to build a wall. They don't need to talk about $20 billion. That's what I'm talking about.
All kinds of things
out there. I'm not saying this, and I don't. This is the problem that I have with this whole nationalist thing, this white nationalist thing. Just put troops on the border. You don't even need a wall. You don't need $20 billion. You don't need this Trump crap of $1 trillion a year. Let the whole infrastructure fall. I don't care. Because we don't need $1 trillion a year, because it's going to put us in debt to the death anyways. We're already in debt.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. That white nationalism thing's ridiculous. Look, I'm accepting anybody. I don't care what color they are, what their background is, or where their family comes from. If you're into the valuing freedom and getting rid of these witches and Nazis that we're all living under right now, I welcome everybody with open arms. I think the white nationalism thing, attaching a color to anything, is a sign that it's coming from the intelligence agencies. Everything from white nationalism to Black Lives Matter, the color revolutions, the orange revolution, the red revolution, the green revolution, the blue revolution, blah, 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 the red states, the blue states. And whenever any entity is presenting you with a color thing, they're attempting to divide and conquer. And that's the British MI6 model, divide and conquer. And don't forget where all the MI6 agents come out of, Oxford University. And don't forget who the recent ambassador to Europe is, a senior fellow at Oxford, relative of Teddy Roosevelt, another Freemason, and we'll get into that on the other side of this break. Dave, in Nevada, that was an excellent call, as usual. Any final comments before we go to the break?
Yeah, just whatever we do, I don't care about millions of people. Get one person out of jail. One person. Get Tom out of jail first. That's all I care about. One person. And then let's start moving on from that one person. That's what I want.
Amen. That's the whole point. One case at a time, and we'll free our brethren. And we will talk more about this on the other side of the top of the hour here. This is Eric, the Freedom Supreme of Texas, Laurie, Vegas, Chris, and we'll talk to you in a second on the Republic Broadcasting Network, not the Democracy Broadcasting Network.
Eric, Mike, can you hear me?
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.